Well, I've been advised not to deviate from my lesson plan, and I know I'm going to get in trouble already. As Christians, we live this life hoping for a better life when this life is over. You don't, as a human, endure hardship without a good outcome with your hope. Your hope, you have a goal that you have something you're trying to attain, and you're willing, you have hope. You're willing to overcome lots and lots of disappointments, heartaches, pain, if you've got something you're striving for. As a reminder to all of us, we have something that we are trying to strive for, and no, it's not in our notes. But if you'll please turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Start with verse 22. This is a goal that we are trying to all strive for. And understanding, if you do not attain this goal, you've missed it all. So, Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 to the end of the context at 17. Here, John is talking about the New Jerusalem, as we would refer to as heaven. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As Christians, we are hoping for something much better than this miserable life. This miserable life seems pleasurable, seems nice. We've got lots of things we strive for in this life. But as Christians, our life is not this earth. As Christians, our life, we do enjoy this life. I'm not saying we don't. But we also endure hardships. Our goal is heaven. And the title is Do Not Be Dismayed. Because just like any race, there's going to be hardships. And in the scriptures, there's an apostle named Paul who was very prolific in his writings. And he wrote about many of his dealings and many things that he endured. Also not in the notes. My apology for not having the notes, but I hope you'll forgive me. Please, if you'll please turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, starting in verse 22. Now, before I read this, I'm going to ask you to put yourself in Paul's shoes. Ask you to ask yourself, could you endure what this apostle Paul has endured or did endure for your salvation? He did this for Christ. He did it for his salvation. Let's see what Paul recounts about what he has had to endure. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? Of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. And by the way, stripes are not sergeant stripes on the sleeves of an army. This is stripes on the back from whips. Stripes of above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burden with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. And the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artaeus the king was guarding the city of the Damascens with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. When you read throughout the scriptures, Paul was not the only one who suffered. Every apostle suffered, and many, many, many Christians suffered. All you have to do is read through the chronicles of the Romans and what they did to Christians. And yet, they did not get dismayed. Their goal was heaven. Yes, doesn't mean we can't be dismayed or can't be saddened, but don't be, because you have a goal far greater than those who don't have that hope. Now the lesson. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through the second chapter, the beginning. Philippians 1, 21. Again, Paul is writing here to the Philippians, and he's trying to encourage them. He's trying to encourage them not to be dismayed. Well, if you're not familiar with dismayed is being so frustrated that you pretty much want to give up. Don't be. You have a goal, and that goal is heaven. Can you imagine being a place where there's no fear? Can you imagine being a place where there's no pain? How about a place where there's no death, no sin? There's always light, and there's only goodness around you. Can you imagine that place? It's kind of hard for us to sometimes imagine those things because we don't experience them. Here we go. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Stop right there. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What is this meaning? He's choosing to live for Christ, to teach others, and to die, gain? Yes, because that means he has a hope for heaven, and he knows it. Verse 22, but if I live on in this flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of God, the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition. I'd like to stop right there. The Chronicles of Romans, they were in the writings of the way Christians died, was different than the ways than those who were condemned to die in the Colosseum. It's been documented that Christians would just stand there and wait for death. while others that did not have hope after this life would try to defend themselves, run, grasp for every last minute of life. Christians died differently. They weren't terrified of their adversaries, but I will tell you, as a human, you've got to understand they had the same feelings that we do. But it was proof of perdition. What is perdition? Ruin. For those folks who were afraid to die, that was fun for them to see. But for those who stood bravely and accepted death and looked forward to death, it was not much fun for the crowd. Moving on. But to you of salvation and to that of God. Verse 29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Chapter 2, 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He's giving a prescription here of how we cannot be dismayed, of how we can be together and work together and be one mind. Benjamin Franklin is well documented and known for a phrase, and that was, "We must all hang together, or assuredly, we will all hang separately." Christians, if we don't stay together and support each other, we will be dismayed. We need to work together. We need to help each other in love so that we can fulfill our hope of salvation in heaven. Biblical examples of others who have dealt with difficulties. Old Testament, Jeremiah. Jeremiah came in the worst of days of Judah's history. The corruption was everywhere. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13 through 15. Jeremiah 6, 13 through 15. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? Were they? No. They were not ashamed at all, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Those of us in this congregation here, there's no one under 20, I don't think, at this point. And I would guess that we all remember times that were very different than they are today. I'm not that old. Old enough to be grandpa. But I'm not that old. I do remember a time when we had freedom in this country far more than we have today. I do remember a time when, at least I remembered, having more trust in our politicians. And I do remember a time that when somebody said something, you believed them until it was proven wrong. Today I look around and I don't see much of that. Don't be discouraged. Your goal is not this life. Your goal is heaven. Corruption was everywhere then, and it's everywhere now. Jeremiah was told from his youth to preach the truth. Jeremiah chapter 1, 4 through 8. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I have ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then said I, "O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, For you shall go to all those to whom I have sent you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of those faces, their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. But that, did that keep Jeremiah from feeling down? It wasn't easy. Please look in Jeremiah after Jeremiah chapter 19. Please turn there. Then Jeremiah came from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'll bring on this city and on all her towns all doom that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their necks that they might not hear my words." Chapter 20, verse 1. Now Pershar, the son of Emar, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pershar struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks and were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was the house of the Lord, by the house of the Lord. Can you imagine prophesying for God? And the priest that's supposed to be supporting God now throws you in jail and strikes you? Jeremiah condemned him on his release. Condemned Pushar. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 3 and down, dropped to verse 6. Chapter 20, verse 3. And it happened on the next day, when Pushar brought Jeremiah out of the stocks, then Jeremiah said to him, "The Lord has not called your name, Pushar, but Magda Masheba. Verse 6. And you, Pushar, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity. You shall go to Babylon, and there you shall die, and be buried there, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies." So those who are not doing what God is asking, they will have a severe punishment. Do you think this false priest went to heaven? It's not my end of the stick, but I suggest maybe I'd be real concerned for him. While Jeremiah showed a strong front, it tore him apart. I mean, have you ever had family that disappointed you greatly? And it tore you up inside? Have you ever had something happen to you that you just were just so devastated inside? And yet you tried your very best to show a happy face or show a face of strong will. That's hard to do. Very hard to do. Please look at Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. Jeremiah did just this. Chapter 20, verse 7. "O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me, for when I speak, I cry out. I cried out. I shouted, 'Violence and plunder!' Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, 'I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name.' But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. For I heard my many mockings, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watched for my stumbling, saying, 'Perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him.' But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my case before you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Now, if you'll notice, I'll stop right here. This is going into a new context. See what Jeremiah feels right now. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father saying, a male child has been born to you, making him very glad. And let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon, because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? Can you imagine what Jeremiah went through? Do you not think that this man had a lot of things to be dismayed about? He was tortured. Mentally. He saw that he was saying what God told him to say, and yet few listened. Jeremiah knew that God would win and he would be vindicated, yet he still suffered. Today, we have the same issues. It's all around us and it's easy to become numb to it. When we see all the sinful things all around us, for us to be vexed and just numb. But we can't be unfeeling about it. We have to understand, we have to continue to spread God's word. We have to continue to have the heaven as our goal. Unity in our attitude and teaching. Stand firm with one spirit, one mind. Do not fear what you are suffering. How many of us have ever been through Paul's experiences or Jeremiah's experiences? Did they shy away? They were faithful to God. We also need to as well. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Be faithful to death, until death. Does that mean I have to be faithful until somebody comes along and kills me? Well, if that's the way it is, yes. Do I have to be faithful until I die from natural causes? Absolutely. Sadly, I've heard folks who have said, I'm a Christian, but I've retired from being a Christian because I'm old. I've already done my duty. Oh, explain that to God in the day of judgment. Explain that to God. I was tired. Was Paul tired? Was Jeremiah tired? They did not give up. They had a goal. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We need to rejoice when we have been persecuted. Persecuted for Christ. If you do something wrong and you're persecuted for it, well, that's the way it is. But if you're persecuted for Christ for doing what's right and what God would have you to do, don't be ashamed of that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Don't think you're immune from persecution just because you live here in this here United States or this time. You are not immune. Neither am I. If you're trying to do what God would want you to do, Satan's going to be right there to try to mess with you. In no way alarmed by your opponents. Have you ever talked to somebody who's been into a sport? I've played chess a few times. It's a mind of a game. It's a game, mind game even. You're not just playing on the board. You're playing mind games with your opponent. You're looking at them. You're doing weird faces. You're getting different hand signals. You're doing things to make the opponent feel nervous. You want your opponent to feel afraid. Because when fear comes into play, I don't care what sport you're in. When fear comes to play, it messes with your mind. And you can't think straight. In no way should you be alarmed with your opponent. But does that mean you should say, piece of cake? No. You do not go into an arena willing to do a combat or sports just saying everything's going to be just peachy fine without preparation. You must be prepared and you must not just give up. Joshua told to follow God and don't be afraid. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 on. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. For I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and be good courage for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid, and have courage. It isn't just external enemies that you have to be worried about. There's also internal enemies. Sadly, I've had to deal with brethren who call themselves brethren who were actually devils inside. They lied, they cheated, and still call themselves brethren. Revelation 21:8 refers to liars equal to murderers and have no place in heaven. So those who call themselves Christians and don't act and don't live as Christ would have us, they may be inside the building, but they're not your friend. Enemies come outside and inside. Do not fear the reproach of men. Isaiah chapter 51 and 7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness. You people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. Isaiah determined to be strong. He had a face that he did not let happen to show fear. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed. In our current society, we don't usually use flint very often. But about 75, 100 years ago, they used it quite often. About 200 years ago, flintlocks. Puts metal and steel against a flintlock, against flint. Flint's not Not the soft rock. No, no, no. It's a hard rock. And here Isaiah is making his face like flint. Hard. He's not going to relent. He's going to stand to be firm. God also told Ezekiel to be tough as well. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. Then he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and hard of language, those words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead shall strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone and harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks. Though they are rebellious, they are a rebellious house. Don't fear man. Do not fear man. They can kill you, yes. They can hurt you physically, yes. But who should you be afraid of? Well, let's find out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Do not fear those who will kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Once man kills the body, can they kill the soul? But who can? God. God's who you are to fear. We are not to be timid or shy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. So because we should not fear man, we should not be shy. We should be bold. I was talking to a sister this morning, and she was saying how she proudly, and I was so thankful to hear this, proudly proclaiming God to friends, family, and strangers, and not having any retraction. Even when family is against her, she's saying, as long as I have breath, I'm going to teach you. Bravo. No timidity. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Should you be surprised if you're mocked? Should you be surprised if you're persecuted? No. If you're following Christ, was he persecuted? If you're trying to follow what God would have us do, were the prophets persecuted? Were the apostles persecuted? Do not be surprised in that ordeal, nor be ashamed of it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. If you're doing right, don't worry about it. There's a sign of destruction for them who are not wanting to follow God. Intimidation backfires and boomerangs on the victims are unbound. So we know of a story, an event, a happening in the Old Testament. Three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We find this account in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And here Nebuchadnezzar is finding out who the true God is. At first, Nebuchadnezzar has decided that he's the one that's going to be in all power. But I think he'll find out. He did find out. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, and by the way, the king has said, you need to bow down to my statue. Worship. Otherwise, you'll go into a fire. Now, let's find out what happens here. These three men said in verse 16, we have no need to answer you in this matter, verse 17. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning of fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than that was usually heated. It goes on to talk about how the men who threw those three men into that fire, they were consumed by the fire. And as it turns out, their bonds were dropped, burned up. And there was another man, like the man of God, or son of man, in the fire with them. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governor, the king's counselors gathered together and saw these men on whom the bodies of fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not even on them. Brethren, this was a miracle that God performed to teach Nebuchadnezzar, who was really in charge. Their boldness was a slap in Nebuchadnezzar's face, if you would. So much so that he had such fury and anger that Nebuchadnezzar wanted the fiery furnace to be seven times. Persecution is part of being a Christian. And we should stand up for Christ. Stand up for God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Matter of fact, I'd like to go back two more verses. Come on now. Electronics works nice until you want it to work. It doesn't. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. My apology, one moment. Okay, here we go. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Work together. Help each other. Be patient with each other. And don't be surprised or ashamed of the persecution that comes. A sign of salvation. It's a privilege to suffer for Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For to you has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Rejoicing after scourging, worthy of suffering for Christ. How many of us have ever been scourged for Christ? How many of us have ever had somebody take a whip to your back because you're doing something right? Following God. How about have you been stoned? Have you been hit with rods hard? Many things that I would dare say most of us in this United States, we have never experienced. And yet look around you. How well Satan has gotten to many of us. And salvation is in jeopardy for those folks. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 42, states, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. If we suffer for Christ, we are glorifying Christ. We find that in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, they're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I remember one of my friends in school. He went to the same church. He went to church with me. And he was happy that nobody had figured out he was a Christian yet. And he wasn't being picked on. Does that say something to you? God rescues. Psalms 68, 19 through 20. Blessed be the Lord, whom daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Selah, verse 20. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. God comforts us also. Isaiah chapter 51, 12. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die, and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? God also values you, so we're not to be afraid. Luke chapter 12, verse 4. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him after he is killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. I know many of us have lots of hair, and some of us have fewer. But in all cases, God deems and counts us far more valuable. He knows us personally. God is my helper, and I will not fear. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, stop. What can man do to me? Well, he can hurt me. He can give me a lot of pain. He can take everything away from me. But is your body you? Are you your body? Or is your body the temple for which you use? You are the soul within you. Man cannot hurt you, your soul. I will trust God. I think I skipped Hebrews. Hebrews 13:6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. What can man do to me? Okay, let's move on. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. I will trust in God. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For yea, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 4. The righteous will contend with the wicked. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. It's our obligation to contend. Do not deny the Savior. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Why? I didn't say anything against Christ. But did you say anything for him? You can say, I didn't do it. But did you do the right? When Christ, you and I, are standing before Christ and God and the judgment day, can you honestly say you have done what you could do for Christ? Can you honestly say, I lived the best I could? And yes, I strived to fight for you. And no, I was not ashamed. No, I wasn't fearful. If you are ashamed of Christ, he will be ashamed of you. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Don't be ashamed, and don't be dismayed. God will take care of you. This life is a test. Your body is not forever. This tent that we live in decays. I'm going to tell you, 30 years ago, I didn't have the aches and pains I have today. I had a lot more hair too. This body deteriorates, but the soul inside never does. Now, do you want your soul inside to have heaven for all eternity? Or a place that has fire and brimstone and suffering and tears and gnashing of teeth for all eternity? How long is an eternity? I personally cannot imagine that. It is something that I just cannot comprehend. Maybe 100 years, maybe 1,000 I can comprehend. Can you imagine 20 trillion years? Well, that's not enough. Eternity is an eternity. And 20 trillion is nothing compared to an eternity. Where is your soul going to be? Don't be ashamed and don't be dismayed. God will take care of you. Brethren, if you are needing help in some way, the prayers of the brethren here, the encouragement, you need some help in some way, please do come forward as we stand and sing.